broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites.
Forgotten Favorites.
On the Worldwide Legend.
Hi, this is Pam Stevens, inviting you to join us each week for the Legend Country Club as we bring you 3 hours of classic country music. Join us this week as we go back to 1960.
Sweet lips a little closer to the phone.
While 10 cars back in the murky dust, a boxcar door swung wide, and a hobo lifted his pal aboard to start on his last long ride.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
Tune in to the Legend Country Club with me, Pam Stevens, Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on the home of Forgotten Favorites, the Worldwide Legend.
Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's the Tim Ani Show for 2 big hours right here on the Legend. Tim will let you know how you can request your favorite song. And during the second hour, Radio Tim counts down the top 10 songs from this week in 1972. Don't miss it. The Tim Ani Show, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Worldwide Legend.
It's Coffee Club time.
Now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rickard, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Am I really here? Well, maybe, maybe. I'm half awake. I've had to reboot the computer once already this morning. But we are here, here, here. Glad to be here. It's January what? The 9th. January 9th. Tomorrow's getaway day. So, well, tomorrow evening we're flying back to sunny Naples, where it's 66 degrees right now. So it might be a little bit warmer, I hope. Of course, every time we go there, then we get a cool snap. So I'll introduce a few people here on the panel, and we'll get to all the callers, get to everybody. We've got a big announcement concerning podcasts and the availability of podcasts. So you VictorStream users need to pay close attention here in just a moment. Jenny, I might as well start with you since you're the closest.
Well, I can tell you it's warmer in Naples because it's 27 here.
It's only 66 there, so you're doing all right?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right.
Started a little shaky this morning, but I'm all right.
I don't think we'll go into that. So, anyway, Tim in Minnesota, how are you?
Well, it's cold here. It's down to 7. And it's supposed to be about that way today and tomorrow, but then it's supposed to warm up into the 40s by next Sunday.
That is very good. I think we're leaving just in time. I think there's a significant snow coming over the weekend. So that'll be real good. Let's see. Let's swing around to Dave and Chris in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Well, I was waiting to see where we were going to be this week. I didn't know.
You never know, you know? You keep sending me cards like you did. You might be in...
I will have to say that was Dave's idea, but I did implement it.
Oh, okay.
We're good. It's windy and cold.
They're going to have the best year ever.
You're hanging in there. These guys are busy getting haircuts and going to Martin's Grocery. I think I got it right this time. And they just keep busy and going to visit Dave's sister. So they're keeping real busy. Let's go. Am I missing anybody? I don't think so. Mike's out. Sean? Oh, we'll get to Sean in just a second. I've got something special planned for him. Might as well just do it right now. Sean, what's going on in Austin? Is Sean there?
I had to unmute myself. Sorry about that.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, I had to unmute. I forgot I was muted there for a second, but not much. It's, well, in the 40s here, it was 78 degrees yesterday, but it's funny. Tim's going to be up in the 40s. By Sunday, we're going to be down to the 30s on Saturday and Sunday. I think we're getting the cool front that's hitting you in Indiana when you get out of town. So,
hey, Sean, what about this football coach in Texas? Was it Texas A&M?
Oh.
The football coach that got fired, got hired at USC, lasted there
Yes. Cliff Kingsbury, he was a quarterback at Texas Tech, and then he became, you know, he was the head coach. 35-40 was his record at Texas Tech. He got fired. Went to USC as kind of a consultant, probably going to be the offensive coordinator. But then the Arizona Cardinals, who... by the way, fired their coach after one season last year, decided they wanted to hire him as a coach. We'll be hitting that big on Sunday night on Sports Lines Live, and that's one that I definitely want to talk about. But it's an interesting, it's kind of like, okay, you got to wonder about this team. But yeah, that all happened yesterday.
That kind of caught my attention. Got my attention. Well, we'll get back to you in just a moment. Let's see. Do we have our friends Joe and Ellen from New Mexico?
Yes, indeed. Hi, this is Joe here. And in my radio announcing style, it is 29 degrees and breezy here at Albuquerque, New Mexico. Ah. And so that's what we have. We've had cold and snow, but we don't get that much snow here in Albuquerque, so...
And let's see, Ellen, what's going on with you? Anything exciting?
I'm just
unmuted. Okay, I think you're unmuted.
Yeah. All right.
So, we'll get back to...
Oh, sorry about that. Good morning, everybody, and... Yep, the last snowstorm that we had, it was a whopper, but I think we're in the clear now, as far as
yeah.
that kind of precipitation is.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to have another storm coming, a series of storms coming in.
Oh, my.
I don't think it's going to be anything that... So
looks like we got a little.
What we see.
Yeah, I'll come back to you, Ellen. Looks like we got a little echo on your phone in there for some reason. But anyway, good to hear from you. And glad you're in. Stay in here. Enjoy this conversation. One of the things we want to talk about this morning, and Jennifer's tested this out. Chris and Dave has. We finally got things coordinated with Apple and everybody. If you're a VictorStream user or iPhone user or however you do podcast, if you type in worldwide, this is WORLDWIDE space legend, you can then search for and subscribe to the Worldwide Legend podcast. That allows you to get podcasts from the Coffee Club. It allows you to get them from ATR Live, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, and the Sports Lounge Live. So it'll give you at least three podcasts, and if we have more talk shows coming up soon, then that will also allow you to get those. So, Sophie,
and it's cool because it's all one feed, so you don't have to subscribe to each one individually. That's what I like about it.
And then they all come down on whichever podcast you don't want to listen to. You delete the ones you want to listen to. You keep after you get it from one feed. There you go. That's a good concept. I like that.
It actually works like all the other podcasts. It's nice.
So that information will be on the website. Go ahead. It'll be on the website. So again, it's worldwide. That's all written together. Worldwide space legend, and you will be able to subscribe to all of our podcast offerings. So that will be coming up, something you can look forward to. We'll come back next week with another announcement concerning availability of how to listen to your podcast on your phone directly from the Legend. So that'll be the next step. It takes me a while to get all these things implemented. Well, you know, this past week, and I don't know what you guys think of this, but I went to the cell phone store because I had something in mind that I was going to do. We wanted to upgrade our phone service. We were very satisfied with our phones, but we wanted to upgrade our phone service. And I will tell you, it was a very painless experience, with the exception of talking to my old carrier who would not release us. Even though we had paid our phones off, they would not release us. And begging my pardon, I forgot to call on Bill. I'll get to you in just a moment, Bill. Anyway, so we forgot. We didn't forget. We just had a little trouble with them, but once that was through, but I'm saying all of this, I passed my phone on because I wanted, someone was in need of a phone, and I provided them a phone, and I went to the iPhone 10 because I thought, well, I'm going to try it, and it's a great, great, great phone. I just can't get this face thing down where you have to look at the phone correctly every time and get it to work 100% of the time. So I don't know if anybody else here on the panels had that experience with an iPhone. I don't even think Mike has. Anybody else had that experience?
We don't have 10s.
Yeah.
After watching him, I don't want one. I'm staying in the 8.
But anyway, it's an experience that learning to look at the phone to unlock it. So I'm not doing too well at that right now. I can honestly tell you the truth. I'm not doing so well. The phone sounds phenomenal. It's got truly, for the first time I've ever seen, truly good stereo on an iPhone. That part's good. But it's me, it's your operator here that's falling short of the mark. And before we get started on our next topic, Bill, did you want to say anything from Chicago?
Yeah, I got to listen to Good Morning, everybody. It's 27 degrees. I'm here 20 degrees warmer than Tim and only 2 degrees cooler than they are in Albuquerque. And also, are you talking about the i10, the iPhone 10, right?
Right, right. That's
okay. I was checking. I'm thinking about upgrading my phones. I got a 7. I'm thinking about upgrading them. And I talked to Apple, the accessibility line. Do you ever use that?
I never have. Chris and Dave have.
Well, yes. I used it, and the woman I talked to, she said the face recognition and some of that, you can change your ID stuff to do different things. You don't need face recognition if you have trouble with that. Or it's also got that retina recognition. And she said the only trouble with that is that if you have maybe one, they've found that if a person has one artificial eye, it won't recognize because there's no retina. If you got that retina recognition on the i10, you can set different things to unlock your phone.
How are they going to see your retina? That's clear in the back of your eye.
Well, it goes through. It goes through somehow.
Maybe your iris, not your retina.
No, it's the retina. It's retina recognition, they call it. And they said they found that some people that have even one artificial eye, and if you got two, you probably would never get it to work. But she was real helpful about it, and I asked her all kinds of questions. And she said that, and also, there's no home key on the i10. You just, if you want to use Siri or VoiceOver, you just take the phone after you get it opened up. If you're using the ID, you just say Siri, and she opens up or goes into VoiceOver, and it's different. You know, it's a little bit different operating, but she said you can use the button on the right hand side of the phone, the on off button, to go back to Siri will recognize too.
Right, but don't do what I did. I tapped it 5 times and I got 911, so you don't want to do that.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
You don't want to do
that. That's not good. She didn't say anything about that, but I mean, you're supposed to just be able to say Siri and she's supposed to open up. I don't know.
Trust me, it works. So there's still a few things, but there are things that you can do and learn. So it has been a little bit of a learning curve, and I'm on the wrong end of the curve. So, but it's still challenging. It's still fun. So, but to get back to that, before I make the other announcement about the podcast, if you type in worldwide, written together, space, legend, and you can, or you could type in worldwide legend podcast, but really worldwide space legend in any of your podcast things will now get your podcast. That will.
Back on this phone thing for a second, I just want to say it made a world of difference switching phone providers. I've never had 4 bars in my house before.
I thought it was just natural to have one bar. But no, that is a
and
difference.
The phone calls are very clear, especially if you talk to another Verizon customer.
So,
oh yeah, Verizon. I got Verizon. The only thing I use is Verizon. I found that the best.
I didn't. You know, if you're in a good area, T-Mobile works very, 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 very well too, or AT&T. You know, I think it just depends upon. I think, what do they say in when they're trying to sell a house? Location, location, location. I think that has a lot to do with.
Verizon, for some reason, has the most coverage across the United States. So
I think so, yeah. But, you know,
in so many small towns, AT&T won't work. T-Mobile work in the major areas, but get out in the boondocks, you might not get reception, you know, getting service. That's the trouble.
But I think, you know, it's whatever you're comfortable with, whatever works for you. And I think that's pretty much. I will say, you know, I guess I'm kind of funny this way, but I judge a company a lot on how accessible their website is. If their website is accessible and it's easy for me to do things and get things, then I'm thinking, well, maybe this is not too bad a company. When you go to websites and they're not accessible, then I'm not too totally 100% impressed. But that, again, is me speaking. That's me speaking, and I don't know. A lot of people do not want to upgrade to the 10 because of the home key going away and the face recognition. But I think it's probably the way things are going, unless they could build a fingerprint sensor on the back of the phone. I don't know. And it's too bad, because that was real easy to do that. Let's see. Any of the panel got any other topics before we...
Bill, can I say one thing? Can I mention one thing?
Okay, go real quick, and then Sean, you
okay,
go.
Okay, this is kind of... Did you see where John's wife died?
Yeah, we were going to talk about that in just a moment. Yes, we were. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
One thing I noticed, yes, they were talking about, you know, the consumer, the big electronics show in Las Vegas, and something. Now, I don't think any of us would be paying for this or affording it, or I don't know why you would want it, but one thing they are introducing at this show is a smart toilet. Yes, a smart, for $7,000, you can have this smart toilet installed. It lifts the seat up, puts it down, it'll warm the seat for you, give a nightlight, it'll adjust like water temperatures for certain things. It does all this stuff for $7,000. Yeah, you if you don't want to lift your own toilet seat up, hey, pay $7,000 and, you know. But, I mean, the warming the seat thing, kind of, you know, on a cold night, if you get up, I'm sure, yeah, that would feel okay. But, you know,
$7,000. Buy one, Sean?
Yeah, sure.
They were laughing about that on CBS this morning on Monday, and they were asking, wonder could you tell it to flush? They were asking, what else could you do with the toilet?
It better wipe me for $7,000.
Yeah.
It better wipe me.
I'm hoping to tell you.
We're thinking of upgrading our bathroom, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds like a good plan, Tim.
Smart toilet.
Yeah, the reason it warms the water, it's for those that like to be washed instead of wiped.
Yeah,
I've read about that toilet before. It's been out for a short time. You know, they got where you just walk in. If you're a guy, he'll recognize you're a guy. It'll raise the lid, make sure all the lids are up, put the lid back down so your wife or your girlfriend doesn't walk in the middle of the night and fall into the toilet.
That's not a pleasant experience if that's ever happened to you either.
Yeah, I've been in trouble. I've gotten in trouble for that.
The warming of the seat, that's just too easy. When I grew up on a farm, we had an outhouse, so if it was 7 degrees outside, you know what it was like in the outhouse. You didn't stay long. Ooh. And you didn't have a warm seat either.
Imagine you didn't.
No, that would be an experience, but some of these products that they introduce here at the CES, they don't see the light of day, but some of them do. And, you know, it's interesting to read about these products and new inventions.
I know one thing they're doing is putting the Google Assistant in that Wi-Fi Instant Pot.
Yeah, Chris and Dave, they're putting that in the Instant Pot. So
I hope it works better than the
app does.
3, 1, 7, 5, 0, 7, 0, 8, 9.
Hey, we don't want that on the phone thing. Yeah,
I don't know what that number.
No. I thought I had my phone cranked down, but yeah, we don't want that nonsense at all. But anyway, this Google Assistant would be in this Instant Pot, and I guess they made this announcement the other day.
Now, plus one.
So, anyway, do you think that would make that product more? You guys have seen the Wi-Fi instant cooker, haven't you, Chris and Dave?
Oh, yeah, we sent one back. We saw it really good.
Yeah, we saw that it didn't, once you set it up, that it didn't, you couldn't use it.
I think it depends on what they do with the Google Assistant. If you can actually operate the pot, that might be okay. But, you know, some of the stuff that they do, like, for example, Blink with the A-Lady, it about half works. You can do some things, but you can't do other things. And unless you can do everything with it, then I don't know that it would be worth it.
Well,
I know in the article I read, they said that you were supposed to be able to tell it to cook rice and things like that.
And it would do different things, and maybe if you could get it to release the pressure or if it do it automatically, I don't know. That might be a good thing. But my experience on working with these devices is... we had that experience, as some of you remember, down in Florida, where we got that over the range convection oven microwave, and it was supposed to be Lady A capable. All it could do was turn on the it couldn't start it, it couldn't do anything, the app was inaccessible, nothing really work. So in that particular case, this app that Whirlpool had written for this device was a general app that worked with washers, dryers, whatever kind of smart device. So it was not specifically written for that particular oven. So it was very limited as to what it could do. So be careful out there when they tell you something's Lady A capable. You better really research it to make sure that it's really going to do what you want it to do. Has anybody ever seen anything that's good that works with an Amazon device?
Well, there's a lot of devices you can operate with Amazon that work fairly well, but they have a little way to go.
I haven't tried the lighting and stuff, but I know that the Casa plug works fairly well. Of course, there's not much to that. You either turn your device on or you turn your device off. So there's really not, it's not too complicated as far as what to tell her to do, but I hate it when they do this and they say that it's compatible and it about half works. Now, fortunately, the Blink app is pretty accessible.
Now, I will say, if you get the right device, Ring works pretty well with it.
That's right.
Yes.
Right, but what they don't tell you is that it, you know, oh, yeah, it works with your, you know, some of the other Amazon devices, and it doesn't work unless you get the right devices, so you can talk to the people that come to your door. So that, you know, that is it. And I think some of these places are, especially these third-party developers, I will say it's limited, it's small in space. But, and we've talked about this on here before, but that little Amazon microwave works well for what it does. You know, if you don't need a lot or just need some basic things done, that thing works extremely well. So it just works. It just works. Let's see, I think maybe we've got a caller from near Orlando in the 407 area code, and I got a feeling it's Shirley.
Yeah, Bill, I just wanted to tell you were asking about the devices that work with that. My husband did buy a couple of those little plugs that he's got one like that works with a lamp in the bedroom, and he can tell it to, you know, turn on the light or turn off the light or whatever, and it says okay, and you can, if you listen real closely, you can sort of hear it click, you know. But he's got that hooked up to the lamp. I guess they call them smart plugs or something right. like that.
Yeah, we have
the Casa. There's also the TP-Link. I don't know.
They do work very well.
You know, I could see that working for lights, because one of the problems we have here is people coming to visit or come in and they'll turn the lights on, and then they don't tell us when.
Right.
Right. And then you've got lights left on.
Well, he likes it in the bedroom because he'll get in bed and put on his CPAP machine and stuff like that, and then he doesn't have to, you know, get up and turn off the light afterwards or whatever. So, you know, it works kind of nicely for that. He bought a couple more of them, but we don't have them hooked up yet. I'm not sure exactly what he's, you know, going to use them for, but I know he did bring a couple of them down here, so it'll be interesting to see what he eventually does with them.
And it works very well with the TV too. We forgot to say that
it does work well with the television too. So that is something you can get it to do. But I'm just saying, be wary of those type of things, because most of them work, but if you get something that is not really compliant at all, it can cause some real problems, as we found out with that particular oven from that we got down in Naples.
I'm just glad Best Buy took that back. I was afraid we were going to end up owning that.
Oh, yeah, you were fortunate. Very fortunate.
Right, and it wasn't something, if it had even been halfway, you know, we could have met it halfway and worked with it, but it just wasn't.
It wasn't anything that we could have, I mean, you could label it, but there were so many sub-menus under the main menus that we would have never been able to use.
And that was a real issue, and so that was not one of my better ideas.
Bill, I got a little tip for you for the Amazon Spot. I would assume it will work with the show and, you know, a couple of the other ones maybe, to get that voice view turned on. Because when you have a spot or a show and you go to fire that thing up for the first time, it doesn't talk. You don't hear anything when you go to do the setup. And so you can turn the voice view on. But what you have to do is you have to hold in the microphone button for a couple of seconds, and then it'll beep. And when it beeps, because that has a touch, they have touch screens, and then you just put two fingers, put them together on the screen, and just move them apart about an eighth of an inch, and just hold them there. And then you'll hear the voice come up, and it'll tell you, double tap to use VoiceOver.
That's before you set it up with your account or anything.
Right.
We kind of found that out by accident. We tried it several times, and it seems to work.
That's a great tip.
Tells you about holding the microphone button in or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't tell you all of those things. And to be quite honest with you, calling... And I don't know about you, Shirley, and maybe you've had this problem too. Have you ever called someplace and you feel like you know more than the disability specialist? That's not always the case, of course, but sometimes.
Right, right.
Don't you just get frustrated when you call?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a little more than annoying, let's put it that way.
Or when you call and all they'll do is repeat what you said and not answer anything. Oh, my. that will drive you crazy. It will drive you crazy. Shirley, anything else going on with you that you want to share with us today here on the Coffee Club?
No, not today, I don't think, but thank you very much.
We'll be back, and you'll keep listening, and we'll...
Yeah, I certainly will. Thank you. All of you have a nice day.
You too.
Bye.
John and Austin. Sure, go ahead.
You know, you're talking about people come to visit, turn your lights on, and don't turn them off, leave on. Did you ever, I put this on my phone. Did you ever try the CAI app by Microsoft? That light sensor thing works perfect because I've used it. And you go to CAI and go to the thing it says on the says light, and it'll exactly tell you what lights are on. It also identify the windows in the daytime.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I do if I know somebody's coming to visit, I automatically turn the light on before they get there because I don't want them to have to do it. And then when they leave, I turn it off. That's
well, yeah, you can do it that way. But I'm just saying, seeing AI worked real good with the light thing, and it also I use it. It works perfect with which is kind of rare now. It works perfect with cursive. If you get something with handwriting, it reads it. It's really good. I mean, you have to take the picture of it, and then a couple seconds later or so, it comes up right. And tells what it says.
So
one of the problems with the lights, and I know we have this problem here, is you have a switch on one side of the kitchen, and you have a switch on the other side of the kitchen. Somebody will come in, flip the lights on, and then the switches get all mixed up.
Yeah, or maybe you have three switches. There's no way to even tell what's going on.
Yeah.
You gotta have a light kind of like that.
Yeah, in Florida, they're like the lights do different things. And they're like three ways or three. I don't understand it all, but these lights.
Oh yeah, the three ways work. One is maybe like a 25-watt. Next it might be 50. Next might be 75.
No, I'm talking about three switches.
Oh, three. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That can be confusion. I got two in mine, and my daughter for a while used to turn one on.
Three or four switches.
The other one, right?
We have three or four switches next to each other, and they don't even make sense which light they control.
Oh, that would be.
Yeah, that would be a little tricky.
So we figured out some of them, but I mean, there's no rhyme or reason when they set up the lights there. Some of them are afterthoughts, I guess, and there's like switches, like the switch in the kitchen might do something to the light in the lanai and the.
Oh wow! Well.
So it's a different situation. So.
It is Florida, you know.
Yeah,
everything weird comes from Florida.
All right.
You have to put an L on that switch, Jenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sean, your low-tech solution is to just take control of the situation, turn the lights on yourself, and then...
Because I always thought it's kind of, you know, if someone's coming over, you know, if I know they can see and it's about to be dark, my thing is, hey, you know, I'm going to have the light on before they get there because I don't want them thinking, oh, you know, I don't want them coming in to a dark room. It's just, it's a politeness thing for me, maybe, that I was always taught. But,
yeah. I usually do that, but you never know in the daytime. Seems like we have some people that can't see so well, and they always need light in the daytime.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the other thing is they leave and they turn it off, and maybe you don't realize they turned it off. So a lot of people, when they leave a room, they turn it off.
Yeah, just say, hey, make sure you tell me, you know, just ask them, hey, please tell me. But, yeah, the Seeing AI app I've heard does work well. It works well with a lot of stuff that Seeing AI app does. So.
Oh, yeah, I've used it for all that stuff. It's great for documents, great for short text reading envelopes. And it identifies currency for you. It'll also, if you got like those frozen meals or a frozen product, like the old boy used to call them TV dinners, if you go to product and you go across and you find the barcode, it'll tell you, it'll beep when it finds the barcode, and it'll tell you exactly what it is in the box, and it'll also tell you how to fix it.
But that's easier said than, I mean, it works, but I've seen people struggle with that too. But it's sure better than nothing.
Well, yeah, you gotta have a steady hand. You can't
right.
You can't be shaky because you'll never get anything out of it.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I had a friend who she took an Uber somewhere, and they had the address, but they were trying to find which building it was in the shopping center, and they're like, oh, we have this. I think she was going to a doctor's office, and she actually used it to help the Uber driver because, you know, the Uber driver had trouble seeing the building name or something, and it picked that up. It was in kind of a small, you know, that this is the, and it's like, oh, we're here. So she helped her Uber driver out doing that.
Maybe she needs to drive. I think we got we got a hand raised, Joe. Or
yeah,
Ellen.
Her hand raised.
Is it Ellen?
It's me. It's Ellen. We were talking about the lights. Fortunately for me, I do have some sight, so a little bit of sight, so I don't have that problem, but we do have the multiple switches on the area right here by the kitchen. But fortunately, I know which one is which, but it's just, I can see how frustrating, that would be, you know, for somebody who doesn't have any even light perception, so.
Well, somebody had been here the other day, evidently before we got home, because Dad came in and he said, oh, the lights are on in the house. We had no idea.
Every light in the house is on.
That could happen. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that you kind of put up with, but to do, you know, all you can do. And I haven't tried that product identifying with the new phone yet with the barcode, but when I look at this accessibility things, I think of people with the smartphones, of course, but I'm also thinking about, because believe it or not, there's a lot of folks out there that don't have smartphones, don't want smartphones, you know, the accessibility for them.
You can still get an old-fashioned light probe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
And just so you know, Bill, I didn't know what your plans were, but it's a quarter till.
Okay, we're good.
I didn't know if you had a podcast or something to play.
No, we're good.
Oh.
We're good till the top of the hour when we've got your award-winning podcast coming up. Just a reminder again, if you want to download the podcast, this is the Sean thing, but I'll step in and try to be Sean for just a little bit here. Just type in worldwide, all written together, space, legend, and do that on your Victor stream, and you will be able to keep up to date on all the Legend podcasts, including the Coffee Club, ATR Live. We'll talk about that maybe in just a little bit, and the Sports Lounge Live.
Now, when you do the Worldwide Legend, when you click on there, then once you're there, you just click on podcast, correct?
Well, no. Actually, well, you can do that from the website, but if you're, we're talking about people that are using their Victor Stream, Sean, or their devices.
I know people can listen on the Victor Stream to the live stream of the Worldwide Legend.
Right, but they don't have to even do that. If they want to subscribe to the podcast and get it automatically, so when it's released, like this morning, just a few minutes after we go off the air, I will post this podcast. So for people who've missed the podcast or want to share it or whatever, and that's been our biggest suggestion is, why isn't this back on the Victor stream? You know, we want to use...
I heard that the other day, as a matter of fact, from somebody, a regular listener to All Things Radio and to the Sports Lounge. I heard that from somebody.
Right,
so
well, now...
Hopefully they're listening.
Right, hopefully
they... We'll definitely promote it Sunday again, too.
Right. So, but that's very, very important to us to get that fixed and that going. We, in a situation where we could have put separate podcast feeds for every particular show, but it gets quite costly, to be totally honest with you. In order to do that, to keep, you know, to keep things going. Let's see. Any other topics we want to talk about for the first hour? I think we got a guest maybe next week or so.
Well, I
you got something, Sean?
If nothing else, I had a couple of, I know we had talked about this, had a couple of odd news stories, and one of them in honor of you going back to Florida.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Well, this is kind of an odd one. 28-year-old Dina Sadler of Naples, or of, not of Naples, because you're going to Naples, of Palm Beach, Florida, apparently wanted to go to the Outback Steakhouse pretty bad. And she lived with her elderly parents, you know, in their 60s. They didn't take her, so Sadler proceeded to go after them, slice up the couch with a knife, start slicing up chairs, other furniture, and proceeded to stab her 65-year-old father, all because she would not go to the Outback Steakhouse. She was arrested for damage to furniture and assault, felony assault to an elderly person. But now here's the weird part. They released her under supervised custody. And you got to wonder, who is supervising her? The parents that she tried to stab that wouldn't take her to the Outback Steakhouse? But there you go.
Well, you wonder in a case like that if maybe, well, you obviously know there's some mental health issues working.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You know that.
And then
you got another one?
I got another one that involves social media. It's funny. This ties in with our social media and smart devices and dating.
Okay.
A woman in Choctaw, Oklahoma. Apparently, she went on a dating site, and she met a guy. She was talking to him, got on his Facebook page, proceeded to talk about how all the deer that she killed out of deer, it was not deer season. She bragged about, oh yeah, I got this deer on this day and this deer. The guy that she was talking to that was interested in her was a game warden working for the state of Oklahoma. So the woman in Choctaw was arrested for poaching and hunting out of season. So be careful on social media, because I know there's a lot of people that listen that are on chat lines or on social media sites, and you know, people have met, especially in the blind community, there's been a lot of people that have met through the internet, and originally that through phone systems and stuff. So yeah, be careful who and what you tell people.
Yeah, be careful. And I think we got one more raised hand, and then I'm going to ask another question here. Go ahead. Is it Joe this time, or is it Ellen? I can't tell. I've got a raised hand.
Actually, not one. There was one.
Okay, well, then we got it fixed. Well, then let's go on to this. Why do you think, and this always bugged me, and, you know, I will use Facebook only because I have to, you know, for other reasons. But why do you think people put everything out on Facebook? I have seen more people put all their details, everything on Facebook.
Oh man!
You know, and Jennifer, you're a big Facebook person. Why?
I think because they want their friends to know what they're doing. It's just like when people first started using Twitter. You see people, and you still see it sometimes. People send a tweet: "I'm going to McDonald's." Well, go.
Or
it's like in the old days of the Christmas card newsletters, where they would tell everything that everybody did all year and all. Where now they can do it instantly. And for those of us, like I said, in the blind community before Facebook, you know, there were all the phone systems and the chat lines and all these bulletin boards. I mean, people would put it out there. So now it's just, they get on the internet. I have an aunt that does that. What? She puts everything that she does and everything and comments on everything that everybody says. And it's like, yeah.
Well, and I think they have a false sense of security because they think that because they have their privacy settings for their friends, that nobody else in the whole world could see anything they post.
Well, I think a lot of it is they also want attention. They want attention, too. That's, I mean, yeah. There's some of what you're talking about, but there's some, a lot of people are looking for attention because a lot of them, maybe they didn't get the attention as a kid, or maybe it's a new, hey, I'm a Facebook star. Everybody's commenting on what I did, or where really, in a lot of cases, people are commenting and making fun of what they put out there.
Well, you know,
you got to be careful because your employer, I've heard of people getting fired for stuff they put on Facebook, so be careful.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Yep. ESPN has done that with a number of employees that have gone on Facebook and Twitter, and not just, you know, they've done that. Other places have done it. You know, it comes back. Look at what Kevin Hart, something he said 10 years ago, and he said, and he was doing it as part of a comedy bit, but it was on social media, and then some people, you know, got on him about the Oscars, and now they're wanting him to come back, but it was just something that he, and even there's been some players that have been drafted in the various leagues, you know, a couple of baseball players and a couple others that have had stuff that they put out there. You got to be careful.
Well, and that's true. So, but it just wonders that people that just do that time after time after time. You see, I'll walk by and Jenny's reading all these posts about, well, I'm doing the laundry, or I'm home alone this week. A single girl, you know, I'm home all alone this weekend. Nobody's here. And
that's,
you know, through the years, people have always said the best way to have somebody like you is to let them talk about themselves, and I think that plays into that too. You know, they like to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, no doubt about it. And they'll put anything and everything. Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I always kind of worry about people that post everywhere they go. I mean, that's just telling somebody that we're not home right now.
You know? I was just going to say that.
Yeah, we
come rob my house.
Yeah.
We know a couple people that post every time they go somewhere. They check in from spots and all kinds of stuff.
Well,
this happened to people before. There was somebody that their friends went and robbed them.
Blind Squirrel does that on Twitter. And you know, you see everywhere that they are, where they've been, and everything for hours.
Okay. Jim, can I make a comment?
Yeah.
This is Bill. Listen, I don't understand why people do that either, because I've known, well, I used to know, he's in a federal job, but I used to know the head of the State Police, Illinois, the head of the FBI department, and when all this stuff started coming out, they used to tell me, Bill, don't do that stuff because anybody can see what you're doing. Anybody can find out why she's not home or she's alone by herself. This is the day we can rob or attack her or do something like that. And they're saying also, another thing is don't put those electronic locks on your doors and don't put electronic thermostats on your house, because where Tim lives and Dave live and I live, somebody can hack into that stuff, get into your house, and also you can set up where you can have a package and tell the UPS guy, here's a code, enter the code, put my stuff in the house. No way. Those guys aren't the most honest people in the world to drive that stuff. And I would never use that. And the thermostats, if you live in a cold climate, some guy can hack those things and you're gone away, say, to Florida for a month, and it gets down to 0 degrees, they turn your thermostat off and you freeze your pipes, or vice versa. They turn your air conditioner off and turn your heat on and cook your house in the summertime.
I don't understand why
you can't. If you're too lazy to get up and turn a knob, one click or two clicks, because they have these thermostats for visual people that got to raise large numbers, and they click every time you turn it, 2 degrees. And I was saying, if you can't get up and walk over and turn your thermostat, or when you get home, you can't turn your thermostat on if you've turned it down when you're gone away. I mean, that's
not always the case. I mean, you're making a pretty large assumption. That's not always the case for people. In our particular case, an electronic thermostat is the only thing that would work with our furnace.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's electronic thermostat that, like I said, you can check from wherever to make sure that you can check it and make sure that no one's hacking it and adjusting if you check it periodically. It's just if you have something, you need to monitor it. That's not just a thermostat. I mean, that's your
Well, and if you have a secure internet and your internet secure.
We have the electronic locks, and we've never had any problem with them. And as far as that goes, somebody could pick a lock.
I've had more break-ins.
And open your garage door. So you better not have a garage door opener, because I've heard of people that drive around and test all the frequencies with their garage door to see if they can open people's garage doors.
When they first came out, garage door openers, if you lived in a certain airline path, the airline radar system would trip your garage door. Because I knew people that every time a plane flew over, their garage door would open and close. That was when they first come out with them.
Mr. Dave Rickard?
Anything you have, even with your bank account or your credit card, check it on a regular basis. Same thing, with your smart device, your electronic setups, check it on a regular basis to make sure, because even a bank account they can hack, and I wouldn't say that, don't have a bank account, don't have a credit card. No, don't say that. You just check it. If you do self-monitoring, and you can notice, and you can fix it before it gets out of hand.
And Mr. Rickard,
I got a lady A here. It's actually the fire too. But my daughter was reading in the newspaper the other day. She said, "Dad, listen to this." It was talking about how that people don't realize that the manufacturer and other people, they can actually drop in and listen in on you anytime they want. And she was saying the thing, if you're not using your Lady A or your Google device or any of those devices, hit the mute button, because that cancels the microphone out. They can't hear anything.
There's all kinds of things that get published to make people paranoid, and I don't want to spend all their time listening to what we're doing. And unless you're doing something you shouldn't be, why do you care?
And Mr. Rickard?
That's right. It's like, I don't know if you remember the book 1984 by Orwell.
George Orwell.
Mr. Rickard, what do you have to say?
I'm taking all this in.
Well, I think that if you have to be that worried, then, anybody who's chooses to drop in and listen needs a life, because we don't do anything that interesting.
Yeah, really.
Right. So
I talk to the cat.
We do that. We talk to the bird. We threaten the bird, put her in the air fryer, sell her on eBay, whatever, you know.
But seriously, extreme things like in the case of a thermostat in Florida, it makes the most sense for us to be here, and I can monitor my air conditioner to make sure that everything is going correctly. It's not practical to do that.
Well, that's like electronic locks. Sometimes you have to give a key to somebody for whatever reason, and sometimes things happen, and sometimes people don't want to give that key back, or sometimes it's awkward asking for it back, or sometimes you don't see them again. With an electronic lock, at least you can take your code out.
But when you give them your key, you don't know that they didn't make a copy.
To make those assumptions on the air that people are lazy and whatever, and I respect the right that people have their own opinions. I get that. But to say somebody is lazy because they don't get up and turn the thermostat, you need to know the reason why. And for the record, I've had 1, 2, 3 break-ins with regular locks.
I had a break-in with a regular lock. I will say, another thing I just thought of, let's say somebody has cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy, they have trouble, maybe they have an automatic door that they push, but they also have the electric lock, and they can get into their own house rather than having to struggle and, do whatever. So for someone like them, and the smart device, the electronic thermostats, they could have it set themselves instead of having someone, their worker, their caregiver, do extra things. They can work on it. So for them, it does work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, your thermostat, Bill, it has a password anyway, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, and one thing you can do there, too, is that you change the password every once in a while.
I can pull up this phone or device or whatever and check to see if everything is going right and monitor the house. So it's whatever that makes the most sense for you. If you want to use the regular locks and that works for you, that's fine. But to make an assumption that, you know, you just can't do that because you just never know what people are going to be doing, you know, in their particular situation. We've almost reached the end of the first hour. I do want to take a few moments, though, in memory of one of our friends who was, well, a strong ACB board member, secretary. She is also was an honorary ISBVI alumnus who did a lot in the blind community, especially with video description, was just a positive person to everybody she met. And that was one Edie Huffman, who passed away from cancer this week. A long, long life of service to the visually impaired, sighted people. She was a librarian, very well thought of in her field. Edie will certainly be missed, and boy, you hate to lose great people like that. Anybody, before we go into Chris's demo, and which one is it this week, guys? Refresh my memory.
It's the meat slicer.
Okay. Oh, I better be good or you'll slice, slice, slice.
You could be a cut above the rest.
Right. But
you could be on
speechless after that.
Yeah. That got people going. Let's see here. We're gonna slice everybody up. If they disagree with Dave, he just slices them up. The two things when I was going to his demo here, and one of them was another way to slice him is with his mandoline that they did an earlier demo.
Yeah,
we did do that one.
So yeah. But now we have it. Anybody want to say anything before we phase for the break and do the demo here on the meat slicer? We're going to cut up some meat from the butcher shop.
Yeah, Bill, real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I offended you when I said lazy, that was just an expression.
No. You didn't offend me. It's good for...
I mean, it's just... One of those things, I mean, I just, you know, some of the electronic stuff is good, but some of it, I don't know.
All I'm going to say to you, Bill, is if you have a remote control for your TV, you better throw it away if you're too lazy to get up and change the channel.
Well, yeah, well, nowadays you can't even change the channel hardly without getting...
Yeah, but you must be lazy if you use the remote on your TV.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If you use a push button phone, these cordless phones, and type in right. your numbers instead of the rotary dial, or
find a rotary dial phone.
I have my Bose radio going, and you cannot change the stations or anything on that.
Right, without a remote. Right.
I know. I don't know why they made that way, and that's a tiny remote too. If you ever lost that thing,
you lose it. Oh yeah, if you lose that thing,
it's a pain.
I've lost it a couple times.
I took a piece of Velcro and put it on ours so you could find it.
I put mine in the drawer in the little coffee table in the drawer so that our cat doesn't decide to play with it in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah, she'd be changing the channels.
Oh man!
Well, he takes a toy. He'll carry it around in his mouth or something.
You don't let the cat listen.
Yeah, you're depriving.
I know.
But ours used to change the baseball game. We'd be listening to the Pirates on the iPad, and he would always change it to the Yankees.
Oh, that cat's a Yankees fan.
I guess.
I know. Well, all I'm going to do is tell you, if we're offended by anything Bill says, I'll just turn this meat slicer on.
How many fingertips you still got, Dave?
Oh, they're still there.
Well, we're going to find out.
If
Yeah, go
if
ahead.
You're offended, don't, if you're offended by something Bill says, don't worry. He's in his 70s. He won't be around long now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bill.
But we'll give it a shot. But anyway, Mr. Bill, I'm going to dedicate this one to you, the meat slicer. This is old technology, this meat slicer. I don't think they've changed that technology in hundreds of years. So, but here we go.
Well, hello, everyone. Well, here we go with another exciting demo. Today, we are going to attempt to demonstrate a commercial meat slicer. Chris and I have a huge pork loin that we purchased from Sam's Club. And
like $20, we're going to probably get about 30 pork chops.
Between 30 and 34 pork chops out of this thing. And we would like to attempt to demonstrate this to show you how fast this thing can work. The unit is called a Primo. It's made by Primo, and it is the PS10 meat slicer. So, first thing I'll do before we get started is let Chris give you a little bit of information about the product.
This is a Primo, P-R-I-M-O, meat slicer, PS10. Those of you who maybe might have been familiar with the Presto, it's very, very much like it. And they have a 12-inch, the 10 is for the blade, the 10-inch blade. They have a 12, they have an 8, they have all sizes. We happened to choose the 10 because it was, you know, kind of medium, and we figured it would meet our needs. It's on Amazon. It's available on Amazon. You can either put Primo meat slicer, or you can put Primo 10, PS10, or you can put PS10 meat slicer. Any of those things in the search field will bring it up. It's approximately $397 right now. However, we've seen the price vary quite a bit, so you just have to look. Now, I'm also sure that some of the bigger local chain stores might also have this, but we haven't checked. But we know it's available on Amazon.
Now, the only thing that I'd like to let everyone know is, when you use one of these meat slicers, it does have a sharp blade.
Extremely sharp.
It's extremely sharp. It puts you in the mind of those of you that know what a hand power saw is, you know, with the round blade with the teeth on it. The blade is something like that, except it doesn't have any teeth, and it does have a sharp edge on it. Now, when you're using it, though, you're not really near the blade. The only time that you're really near the blade is when you go to clean it.
It has hand places for you to put your hands. And if you keep your hands where they're supposed to be, and if you stop it and wait a minute before you reach in to get your meat from behind the meat slicer, and if you're careful, you'll be fine. But you need to be really sure-handed.
So the idea is not to be afraid of it. The unit, when it comes, needs a little bit of assembly, but not a whole lot. What you have is the meat slicer itself. This thing weighs probably about 25, closer to 30 pounds. And what you have is the meat slicer itself, and then also in the box is a... It looks like a little tray on one side, and then there is a gizmo that with a handle on it that flips up and down, and that's the I'll get into here shortly. So what you have to do, because that piece is not assembled onto the unit, so if I look at, I have the, well, obviously it's been out of the box for a couple years. when you take it out of the box and you put set it on a table and you turn it around so that there's a down at the bottom of the unit, there is a flat piece of metal or the front of the frame. And if you bring your hands clear over almost within about 2 inches going from right to left, and so you bring your hands over until you see a threaded screw that is sticking out of the frame. And in the box there is a knob that you screw on to that threaded piece. So what happens is this tray that I started to talk about earlier has like a little tray on the left end of the, I have it turned with the knob, the front of the unit actually facing to my right, and the rest of the meat slicer facing going to the left. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take this tray that I was talking about, which it's a mechanism with it has a gizmo on it with a handle that you take a hold of the handle and you slide it from left to right when you're slicing your meat.
That's what pushes your meat into the blades. That's why your hands shouldn't ever be near the blades while it's running.
That's right. So we've got this tray, this mechanism with the little plastic tray on the left-hand side and the handle that you flip up and down on the other side. And the assembly for that is you take this gizmo with the handle on it and the tray out of the box, and you will find like a post that sticks down on this assembly. And what you're going to do is I talked about this knob that you take out of the box, and what you're going to do is you're going to take this unit with the post, face it down, and there's a hole at the bottom of the post about an inch away from the very bottom of the post that sticks down on this tray mechanism, and you're going to put that onto the threaded screw that's sticking out of the mainframe of the slicer. Now, once you put it on, there's a little bit of hardware in the box, which really isn't much of anything. It's a couple of washers. And so you're going to put the post of the tray mechanism onto the threaded piece that's sticking out of the slicer. And then you're going to make sure that it's in as far as it'll go on to those threads. And then you're going to take that knob that you took out of the box. You're going to put a washer onto the threaded piece on the outside. Well, you know, after you put the post on, then you have some threads sticking out. You'll put your washer on there. And then you'll take that knob and you'll screw that on to the threaded piece and turn it until it's good and tight. And that holds that tray mechanism onto the slicer. Now I can slide the tray mechanism from left to right. I can lift the handle up to put the whatever it is I'm going to slice in there. And I can lower it, like, for example, the pork loin. And then now that I have the tray mechanism on, if I bring my hands, the tray is actually facing me, which would be on the left side of the slicer. If I bring my hands past the tray, I will see a round metal plate And the round metal plate is what the blade that spins against it. The blade is flush with that metal plate. So the idea is you keep your hands away from that. You don't touch that until you're ready to clean it up.
That's actually the most dangerous part. And it's not dangerous if you're careful, but that's the time you're most vulnerable to getting cut if you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, if you're using a knife, you always try to keep your fingers away from the blade so you don't get cut.
Or any kind of power tool or anything like that.
Right. And those of you that have worked with power tools and things like that can understand about these blades, so you sort of, unless you're crazy like I am and you touch it like I just did, but that's basically the description. There's also a sharpener that comes with the unit that sharpens. You can mount it to the top of the unit. There's a post hole in the top of the unit, and the sharpener slides down, and it's got a post coming off of it, and it slides down into that little post hole. And then there's two little small knobs that you can turn to lock that sharpener onto the unit. But you don't usually have to use that unless you need to resharpen the blade. And the idea of that sharpener is you put that on and you don't touch the blade, but you start the machine and the sharpener will sharpen and polish that blade. Yeah, they do tell you in the manual not to use it for a cheese slicer, because that could be pretty messy.
and they also tell you it's best to have your food thawed.
Right.
You can do some frozen things, but it does require you to sharpen the blade more.
Now, with this slicer turned, I'm looking at, it would be the left-hand side of the slicer, but it's the left-hand side of the slicer is facing me. And if I take my hands clear over to the left of the left side of this slicer, there is a switch. It's rubberized. And if you take your fingers on the left side of the switch, and you press it, that starts the machine. Obviously, I have it plugged in. And it is a rubber switch, and you have to push on it a little bit. You can't accidentally bump the switch to turn it on. And you never turn this unit on until you're ready to slice. And you always, when you're done slicing, turn it off.
And stand there a minute.
And then wait until you hear your blade stop before you take
your hands
any
off
of the
anything.
Pork chops, in our case today. Because what happens is when you slice with this unit, it goes to the opposite side of where your blade is.
Goes to the, in our case, to the left-hand side.
To the left-hand side of the blade, and it comes out on a little tray that's behind it. It's a metal tray, and your meat will come out on that tray. So you make sure you stop the machine, and when you stop the machine, wait till the blade stops, and then reach over there and take, which in our case are the pork chops, off of the machine.
What I do, I'll do two or three pork chops. I'll stop the machine and take it off because I don't want them piling up back there.
Right, and then make sure you have something to put the chops in. When you're done slicing,
and you slice them, yeah.
There is a pretty long power cord on the unit, so the first thing you do is you plug your power unit in, and find your switch on the way we have this unit turned is the left side of the slicer is facing me. I'm going to find that switch.
We probably have it sitting sideways, but that's the way it works for us.
Yeah, because we have it on a cart, like so. We can put the pork loin that we're going to slice in a pan on the cart.
And so pardon the bird, because she's upstairs making noise.
So we have the pan there. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is find the power switch and just to turn it on to make sure that the unit is running. And it is. Nice and smooth. And for those technical guys, this is a belt-driven unit. And I've yet to ever wear that belt out, so...
It takes about 5 seconds for that blade to stop spinning.
So what's going to happen now is Chris is going to do the slicing, and we'll give you an idea of how fast you can do this. And when she does a few pork chops, we will stop the slicer, and she'll take those off and put them in a pan so that they're out of the way.
This little thing that you pull back to put the meat against has teeth in it.
And so what
and
you do
is it holds the meat in place.
You raise the handle that I was talking about on that assembly that we put on, and you put your meat. You take your pork loin in this case, and you'll put that in so that you'll push it in until it touches where the blade is going to be, or where it's going to touch that metal plate. And then you lower the handle. That holds the whatever it is you're going to slice in place. So if you're ready,
okay,
Chris.
You're going to have to stop it for just a second because we're going to have to cut this loin. It's too long to fit in there.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, I went up and got some shears. And I'm just going to cut. I thought it would fit in there, but it won't. And it's better if it doesn't hang out.
Yeah, these are huge pork loins.
So we'll fix that. Won't take but a minute.
So she's just cutting it.
I have a pair of kitchen shears, and I'm just shortening it so that it'll be easier. It'll make it a lot easier to manage, and we won't have that hanging off and maybe slipping and causing trouble. Okay, I have the pork loin in the little holder that's going to take it past the blade. And I'm going to turn the machine on. And we're going to... I have my hand. I have one hand on the thing that pushes the meat through on the handle. I have my other hand on the bottom of this tray where there's another handle. So my hands aren't going anywhere near the blade. And here we go. There's one.
Okay, just one chop.
Okay, we're going to run some more through now.
Goes one.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Then we stop it.
Stop it. Wait. And I'm going to go back here and get them.
The machine does have a brake that stops that blade, but you never know, because especially if the brake would happen to wear out and that takes that blade a while to stop spinning, you know.
You just don't take any chances.
Better to be safe than sorry,
yep.
You know.
Okay, we're going to do this again. One of the things I do is I keep some paper towels here, and I try to keep my hands cleaned up so my fingers don't get slippery. Okay, I'm going to turn it on.
There goes one.
Two.
And as you do that,
three.
You press the handle towards the blade and you slide the tray from left to right, and as you push the loin in against the blade and you slide it from left to right, as soon as it slices, then you do the same thing. Push the loin against the blade, slide it from left to right, and you get your other slices.
And there is a piece. Okay, we're going to go here right now.
Okay, there's some more of those loins, that part of the loin.
There's that. This is a skinnier loin. Okay.
We usually like the wider ones.
Yeah, I try to pick out the wider ones, but I wasn't picking it out this time.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, you know.
It was an Instacart thing.
Yeah, and really, I can't even blame him, because you couldn't tell what you were getting in the package. I mean, it looked to me like two wider loins. It turned out to be four skinnier loins. It is a whole loin, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right. All the loin is sliced up.
Whoops.
And we'll see how many.
We got about 30, I would say. Now, I always have a little package of what I just label as pork pieces, because, you know, if those of you who've seen a loin know that loins are tend to be kind of skinny at one end sometimes, and you've always got some pieces at the end that are kind of scraggly looking, and we just use them in pork and sauerkraut or whatever.
Yeah, which is coming up.
Because I just cut that up anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Coming up tomorrow, that pork and sauerkraut. That's when we're recording this demo.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. So we're doing this New Year's Eve. We had to do it when we had a pork loin, so we're going to do it a little early and just save it a week, and you'll hear it, I believe, on January 9th.
Something like that.
So
that's pretty much how the unit works. It does slice rather well.
It slices very well.
And then the next thing you want to do, now you don't have to do this, but what I do is I will take that tray mechanism off of the slicer just by taking that knob and screw that knob off, and I take my little washer off and put that in my pocket and the knob, and take that tray assembly off. That allows me to be able to clean that that assembly with the unit with the handle on it, with the little teeth on it that holds your whatever you're slicing in place, and the little tray, and so you can clean it pretty easy that way with it off. And then the other thing is, what I do now is I will find this blade to clean it. And normally if you have a pair of rubber gloves or something like that, I sometimes will just use a towel, which Chris doesn't like that, but because I might ruin her towels, but oh well.
But we're using old ones, so.
So we're using old towels, so I use that, and what I do is spin that blade very carefully with my fingers, and as I spin it, I wipe that blade off with some soapy water, and then do the same thing, spin it again, and wipe the blade off so that that's clean. And then where the meat comes out, here's a little piece.
Put it in the pan beside them.
Where the meat comes out onto that little tray on the left-hand side of the slicer, I will clean that all up. And then I will after I clean the tray mechanism and stuff, I will reassemble that back onto my slicer by putting it over the threaded piece that sticks out of the front of the slicer, put my washer back on, put my knob back on, and slide it back over and just let it go, and it'll be ready for the next time I want to use it. And a lot of times I might even go over that tray again a second time with some soap and soapy water just to make sure that it's clean.
Yeah, you want to make sure you don't have any raw meat residue on it.
Right. It's like anything else. When you have raw meat, you want to make sure you clean it, clean your whatever you have that meat on up so you don't get any bacteria or anything like that. So I will pause the machine for a couple minutes, and what I'm going to do is, as I said, clean the tray up and clean the unit up and make sure there's no raw meat there, and then I will be back and we will close out the demo. Okay, I've got the unit cleaned up. And I cleaned up the cart that the slicer is sitting on because, you know, we did have some meat there. It really wasn't touching the cart, but...
Except for where my shears fell off once out of the pan.
So that's how the unit works. It does what it's supposed to do, as I always say, if it really does, and this one does. So I'll let Chris give you the information about the product one more time.
Again, this is a Primo PS10. That's Primo. It comes from Amazon. That 10 is for 10-inch blade. They have different blades. There's 8, 9, 10, 12. I haven't seen an 11. But anyway, there's all kinds of blades as far as what size meat slicer you want. They all operate about the same way, just different size blades. And this one was $397, although we've seen various prices. And I'm sure that some of the more exclusive chain stores, the national chain stores, would have it too, or something very similar.
Well, that's how the unit works. We've got a good many pork chops now that we can really enjoy.
And we're going to go seal them, and you'll hear about the sealer next week.
So, if you have any questions, you can always email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any comments or questions concerning this device during this broadcast, you may reach us directly by dialing 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Followed by the pound sign when you are asked for the meeting ID, enter 848-725-450. For the meeting ID, it's 848-725-450. Press pound again, and when you're asked for the user ID, press pound one more time and you'll be there.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this demo. That's all the time we have for this one. Stay tuned next week for
another exciting demo.
Well, what can I say? Great demo. Slice, slice, slice. I would slice my finger off.
Well, you actually don't get near that blade when you're slicing. Really, the only time you have to worry about the blade is when you go to clean it.
And our woodshop teacher used to tell us, anytime you turn a piece of machinery off, stand there till you know it has stopped spinning.
Exactly, exactly right. Hey, you know, unless anybody on the panel has a question about this particular item, I just got something hot off the press that I need to share about cooking, too. And Chris, I just pulled this off the off the email list. I'm going to answer a couple questions. I got some emails while we were talking away this morning. This is called the Smart June Oven. S-M-A-R-T, you know, J-U-N-E oven. And they were asking about the accessibility of this oven. This is an oven, I guess it's one of those air fryers, whatever it is. I got this off the RISBVI alumni list. Someone was asking about it. It's one of those things that I would caution people to be very, very, very careful, because it supposedly works with your iPhone and Lady A, and has a built-in thermometer in the oven, and has a deep fryer, you know, an air fryer, and all of that stuff. So, in Chris, how big is a 12-inch pizza? Is that not a very big pizza? That's how big a pizza it bakes.
That's a decent-sized pizza. That's, I think the Schwan's, the big ones from Schwan's, I believe, are 12s.
Right. So I just pulled this off the web a second ago, and it's called the Smart June Intelligent Oven. And let's see. Well, of course, everything works perfect. Let's see. Let's see what else it's saying here real quick. And so, anyway, this oven has got 7 or 8 or 10 different functions or whatever the case may be, but someone was considering buying one and needing some things. So, Chris, that'll give us something to do for you and I to see what we think of something like this.
I would almost guarantee you it doesn't really work with Lady A, though. Because as far as I know, the only one that truly works is the Amazon microwave that was specifically made to work that way.
All I can say is if somebody wants to order one, they need to order it with the thought that they may well need to send it back, and that way they're not overly disappointed.
One other thing I just noticed on this, and this could be pressing the point here, but the price point of this oven is $599.
Wow.
Now,
I wonder how big it is.
Well, it holds a 12-inch pizza. So,
well, yeah, but ours probably could, too, couldn't it? Almost.
It'll be close.
You know, I can screw up my cooking all for a whole lot cheaper. I don't know, you know, what...
You know, you figure if it's smart, they're going to add at least a couple $100 onto it.
Well, they put about $300 onto this one. So, it's something I would look at, but I don't know... I question, you know, because we got kind of burned on that microwave, that how, and if you were depending upon totally for your total cooking experience with an Amazon device, and we talked about this earlier, I'm not sure this would be the ticket for you. But I will do some research on it and give them an answer. A couple other things. Got a note from Scott, and he said he had to type in world space wide legend for it to come up. Now, I'm not sure how he was doing his search or where. I'm just saying on the Victor stream, I typed in world wide written together space legend, and it came up as the first choice.
That's what I did, and it worked fine.
But different... I don't know why, what, how, what, why. So I guess the main thing is, if you get it, that's the best way. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The other thing is, I got a note from Mark Marino, and he was wanting to know which diabetes meter we were using, and that is the Libra, L-I-B-R-E. Dave uses that too. So that's what we use, and that seems to be the most accessible, especially with the fact that you can use it on a smartphone.
I had a chance yesterday. Chris and I had doctor's appointments yesterday. And so when I went to the doctors, we compared the Libra's readings with their readings. And it was about an 8-point difference. And that can be, they could put another strip in their unit where they compared it and got a different reading. So it's right there where it's supposed to be.
Did they like your...
Yeah, they thought it was pretty amazing.
Well, you know, when mine compares to my A1C and it reads correctly and accurately, so I don't have too much of a problem. The trouble is with those strips was, I noticed, I think they can vary by the amount of blood you get on the strip.
That's right.
And the age of the strip, too.
Right. There's not a perfect science into that at all.
What the lady did yesterday, and I kind of wondered why she did that. She, pricked my finger, but then she took the strip into another room. So there would have been, I question whether, I think they were both pretty much in range because she took the strip into another room and then put it into a...
They must have had a machine that was...
I don't know what she did that for, but...
But it's close enough. I mean, it's not perfect, but neither are the strips, so I think it's close enough.
Yeah.
I think you look for a consistency.
Yeah, and it does. It is consistent, so...
Well... The only way I'm going to answer that to those critics is if my A1C can go down 3 points or 3.5 points, it's doing something right. And the A1C is not measured on this particular machine. So I'm doing something right. If I know where I've got problems or what I can do to avoid it, it's worth every penny to me to do that. Well, now Bill, that we've... Yes, go ahead, Bill.
The other day, I was listening to ACB Radio, their mainstream channel, and they had another system on there that to test your blood sugar. It was implanted by a doctor in your arm or in your stomach area. But the only thing is, it had a separate little reading device, but it lasts 90 days. It was a reader like that.
Right.
But I just happened to stumble onto it. I listened to the...
I believe that's X-Con.
Unless there's...
I don't remember the name of it, because it was a couple days ago I heard it. And they were saying... They were also saying their A1C now, they found out that it should... Sometimes you get your A1C to 5 and 6. You have to watch it because too late. They said they'd rather have a 7 and 8 on your A1C.
Well, doctor...
It all varies depending on who is what.
Your doctor is what or whatever.
Right,
but
the doctor and all that kind of stuff.
My doctor, I don't know about Dave's doctor, but my doctor doesn't want me to have above a 7 under any circumstances.
No, mine doesn't either.
In fact, when it got to 6.9, because it had been heading upward, he got kind of, I don't want to say upset, but he wasn't happy.
When mine was 9, one time it was 11.3.
Oh, well, that's
way out of range. So you don't want
this
anything.
This is a true story. A friend of mine just told me yesterday that there was somebody that went to the hospital the other day, and their blood sugar was 500.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I didn't think the meter would go much higher than that.
Oh, no. No, I think it'll go all the way up to
Yeah, it'll go
up
there.
Wasn't Wendy's like that once?
Yeah, my first wife, before she passed away, her sugar was 600, 700, sometimes 800.
Oh, gosh.
That was pretty high.
Well, it can be real tricky and real scary. So anything that helps you manage your A1C, I don't care which one you use. I don't care if you want to stick your finger, if that's what you can afford and that's the way you want to do it, that's fine. But if you can manage your A1C and keep it down to a good, consistent level always, it provides you with better health. I'm seeing a lot of people who don't watch what they eat or the, and then they're running into all these serious complications. I became a believer in that when he told me I was going to have to go on insulin.
And then, well, the one thing you find out about when you have a system is you want to watch it. You know, because you don't have to worry about, you know, once you have that sensor on your arm and it's good for 14 days, you don't have to do anything with that. And all you do is just, you know, scan it with the phone and it gives you what you want to know. And so you could, you kind of want to check it more often. So that helps you to control, so you know what to do to control your glucose.
You find out what really makes it go up, and that's somewhat different for different people.
Oh my, yes. Things that you wouldn't think would make it go up trick mine off, like a bowl of cereal or something that I wouldn't even think about it, or just a plain old hamburger bun that you would get out someplace. But then I could sit here and eat a baked potato and it doesn't go up. So go figure. I don't know. I guess it's the uniqueness, or everybody is different in what.
Depend on the starch in the product, because I know my father was a diabetic, and he loved cheese, and he could take a slice of cheese and eat a slice of cheese and check his blood sugar, it'd go up 10 points.
Yes, it just varies or whatever, so you just can't say, especially in somebody that drinks three straight Cokes. Right, Dave?
Oh, that's, well, you right. Drink, you drink
yeah.
Three Cokes, your sugar's really
going to
go.
He did that Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, we were visiting, and I hadn't had a Coke for a long time.
Because I generally don't buy it.
And I drank three big glasses, and it shot my three. It was almost 400.
Oh, yeah.
I won't do that again.
Now, fortunately, it goes down rather quickly. But it's when it stays up high consistently, and that can be a real problem. So, but I urge you, whatever system you use, as long as you're consistent at it and you can consistently do that. Yeah, they don't want it too low, and my doctors told me that too. But I don't want it so consistently high that I have problems. Hey, speaking of high, Chris, do you have something that you can, have you got a recipe for today that could spike my blood sugar?
I have Bisquick chicken, and we haven't had that in a while, and I don't think we're going to have it today, but we might have it soon because we liked it. This is 2 tablespoons of butter or margarine. Well, technically, it called for 1. I used 2, and it seemed to work better. 2/3 cup of Bisquick or some kind of baking mix. 1.5 teaspoons of paprika, and that's kind of optional. 1 1/4 teaspoons of salt. 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. 1 whole chicken cut up. Approximately 3 pounds, and that's regular chicken skin and bone and all that, whole pieces. You could do it with other chicken too, but I did it with pieces. For us, I used half the chicken instead of a whole one because it was a big chicken. Spray a 9x13 baking dish with Pam or something. Well, if you're using a glass one, it's a good idea to spray it. If you're using one of those with a coating on it, it's not a good idea to spray it. So, you know, use your own judgment. But anyway, preheat the oven to 425. Put your butter in whatever dish you choose and melt it. And actually, I have a note here. I used a 7x9, so use your own judgment about what size pan you need based on how much chicken you have. Mix your dry ingredients, which would be your Bisquick and your spices. Once your butter is melted in the pan, you can just stick that pan in the oven for about 5 minutes and your butter will be melted fine. Put your chicken in the melted butter. Put it back in the oven for 35 minutes. Turn it over and bake for an additional 25 minutes. And you don't cover it or anything because you want your chicken to get crunchy. And if I didn't say so, that's in a preheated 425-degree oven. So it's in a pretty hot oven. And that's really good. We like it.
Good stuff. You know, I made some chicken. I didn't have a recipe, but I took some chicken thighs and put in that, what is it called again?
An air fry oven, Power XL. Yeah, this would work in there, too.
Yeah, I cooked some of that last week. I just floured it and put it in a bag. Then I put it in on the racks. I used two different racks. I put it in there, and I made chicken and baked potatoes at the same time. Now, you know, I can't speak for it, but either Jenny was exceptionally hungry, but she ate all her chicken and said it was good. Now, I don't know.
Did you spritz it with any oil or anything?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just kind of spritzed it a little bit. Did you like it, Jennifer?
It was really good.
I'll bet it was.
And it was crispy. I thought he'd gotten it from somewhere. I mean, I thought it was like a bought chicken. I said, "Maya Bill, where did you get this chicken from?"
He probably did.
Like those women that used to make TV dinners and put them on a plate.
Yeah.
So you're trying to say, Jennifer, that someplace is cooking as good as Bill?
Hey, 99.
It was just so evenly breaded and crispy that I thought maybe he'd gotten some breaded chicken, because sometimes we get the ones that have, you know, that are marinated in teriyaki sauce and different things like that, and they get crisp like that. And I was really impressed with the way it breaded.
Every once in a while, I can cook, and I baked the potatoes with it, and they came out real good. I poked holes in the baked potato, and I put it in on that setting in there, and the potatoes were real, real, real good. But that chicken was amazing. I just used those thighs with a bone in it. I don't know. This is just me. I like chicken that has a bone. Now, I don't know why. I like that over boneless chicken breasts. Now, I don't know why.
I do too, but, you know, sometimes boneless is just easier and cooks faster.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say that about the oven. We tried, Chris, we tried that basket, but I didn't like the basket.
Oh, the rotating one?
Yeah, I didn't like that because, number one, it wasn't so hard to get in, but boy, it sure is hard to get out when it's hot.
What I found out was I got a set of, they're called welding gloves.
And they're not real thick.
And they're not real thick, because the problem is if you put regular gloves on to take the basket out, they're too thick.
Yeah.
Where the welding gloves are thin, and they will hold the heat. You got to be fast, but you can use them, and they will go in either side of your rack or your basket when you go pull it out, and it works a lot better because it those things really get hot.
I always remember that with the Cook's Essentials pressure cooker had those little tabs if you wanted to take the pot out. And it was really hard to get out of there when it was hot.
Yeah, those work, but they don't work well for this. I tried them, and you just can't control it well enough.
But I didn't think the French fries cooked as well in that round cylinder-like basket. I don't know. Maybe I did it wrong. There were steak fries. Maybe there was too many. Whatever the case may be. But
I think we figured out if you add 5 minutes, then they're fine.
So if I'd have made it 20. Now, yes.
Well, with steak fries, you may even have to add a little more.
Yeah.
Well, some of them were pretty crisp, though. You wouldn't want to burn up the ones that cooked right.
Well, that's true, and that's the problem. You would think in a rotating basket, everything would cook evenly, and that's the whole point of it. But I kind of found out the same thing. Maybe I had too many in there. I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, you think as big as that basket is, you could put quite a few in there.
Well, you could, but...
If you get too many in there, then it when it spins, it doesn't twist those fries
it
around.
It doesn't let the inside ones come to the outside.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Tim? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to mention to Dave, by the way, I bought two of the smoke detectors that you mentioned, but they were on sale at Home Depot for $36.95, I believe. When you said they were like 51 or something.
Yeah. Oh,
good.
You're lucky.
Yeah, that's a good price. But if you have a product or something you want us to research, I don't know if we can always review every product because there is budget concerns. But if we've got it or can get it, we will talk about it. If you want to know if something's accessible, I'll put the crack team on it, and we'll try to figure it out, you know, for you, because, you know, we can research. We've been here. We've been burnt more times than not, so we have a pretty good idea. And we've got Tim coming up in just a few moments. It looks like we're about down to, we got about five.
Can I make one suggestion, Bill?
Sure.
On Chris and Dave, they were talking about, you know, cleaning their machines. I've had one for a while, and I found that an easy way to clean that is, like you say, clean it, but to make sure it's really clean, take those Clorox wipes and wipe over them at the very last, because if it sits in stores, well, you don't have to worry about it bothering anything.
Yeah, those things.
And we'd be sure you killed every bacteria germ.
You just have to fold them up, you know, thick.
Yeah, they were.
Right. You know, you just take them, you know, wipe.
I never
wipe
heard of them.
After you wash it with one of those, it really.
You putting that in your oven? You're talking about?
No, I'm talking about your slicer.
Slicer.
I was going to say.
I cleaned it and wiped it, and that. And I said, well, because what I do is, I got one. What I do is, just after I finish, I take those Clorox wipes you buy, you know, on the canister in the stores,
right?
And just take one or two of those and just wipe over it. And because you don't have to worry about the Clorox or the thing being on your food, because you're not going to use it for a while, you know, so
right.
It's going to be gone. Because I had butcher friends years ago that ran butcher, and they dipped all their saws and knives, they set them in Clorox.
Yeah,
yeah, those wipes.
Them off, right?
We use a lot of those wipes.
Right.
Okay. I was going to mention, Bill, I think Sean is not on right now, but I had to laugh. There was a station in, I believe, Birmingham that ran an ad after the Clemson Alabama football game for all the a bunch of paraphernalia for the winning Alabama team.
Oh, didn't quite work so well, did that?
No, it didn't.
It didn't quite work. It didn't work out as planned. You know, So we got you coming up for 2 hours, and then we got Chris coming in, and we just go on and on and on and on here on the Worldwide Legend. I want to thank the folks over at the Conversation, especially Scott, for taking the time to upload our podcasts. Another place you can go to, you know, to listen to the podcasts, and that's, you know, that's a great thing. That's a great service they provide. So thank you very, very much for all the listeners, for the people who continually give us feedback. We try to get back to. We will not be on tomorrow night for ATR Live because I'm going to be traveling. The arrangements didn't work out quite just right. So, but we'll be back on the 17th, and you'll be hearing some announcements. There will be a slightly different version of it. Nothing's going to go away. It's just we're going to be a little more flexible, and we'll do that. So be sure to check out our podcast, and you can put those, get subscribed to those through iTunes by either... Now, work for me by typing in Worldwide Space Legend, but Scott had to put in World Space Wide Space Legend. But whatever way you do it, you can get it, get the latest podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the mailing list. If you want to go to the website, legendoldies.com, you can get Chris's recipes there. She posts those. And you can join the Coffee Club mailing list. Anybody got anything before I...
Are we going to be substituting anything for All Things Radio tomorrow night? Or
as far as I know, no.
Okay, because last week we ran the Christmas show again.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I will go in and see if I can't correct that problem right away.
Sometimes so, Steve will run a little
right,
over, and then I'll take over early.
It was just a flight issue thing. Our flight is not going back till tomorrow evening. It was a way to get a much reduced rate. We're going to be talking about that one of these weeks here too. Cheap flights are not always cheap flights.
Reduce in one way and pay in the other.
Right. So they're going to get it out of you one way or the other. But anyway, we'll be back with the ATR Live 1 on the 17th from 6:30 to 8:10. We might even make you work your full show.
Oh, my.
We might. We might actually make you work your full show.
All right.
So
just make sure your hands are clean, Bill.
Do what? I'm sorry?
Just make sure your hands are clean.
Oh, that's right. What was I classified a third level of terrorist activity last time? Oh, man. No wonder they're laying people off. Who knows? But anyway, you guys have a great day. It's always a pleasure. Thank